Well, you know, I had this introduction here, but I'm going to scrap it for a second. And just with what you shared and today's sermon, we're talking about hope. It's a hopeful Sunday today. And the illustration I was going to talk about is about forgetting and remembering, right? How we sometimes forget things and sometimes we need to take time to remember things. And, you know, there's a reality that many of us here are dealing with family members and others who are in the state of forgetting. And it's hard, right? It's hard. We've heard that already, and we know others that are, we find ourselves in this difficult place of how do we walk alongside people who forget things, and we see, you know, the light of what's in there. So today we're going to talk about remembering and how God calls us to remember. That's what I want us to hold on to this morning. As people, we forget things, right? I mean, I'm a forgetful person. You might be forgetful people as well. And we could together, you know, come together and figure out our greatest hits list of things that we've forgotten over time, right? Things, maybe small things or big things. Like, for example, you know, this Thanksgiving, just this past weekend, did anyone forget an ingredient to a dessert or a dish, right? That happens, right? The cake didn't turn out, or the turkey didn't taste so good, or something like that, right? So there's more serious things. There's other things that we forget. And this theme, though, of forgetting and remembering, it comes up quite a bit in Scripture. We've been talking about themes a lot. We talked about trees a few weeks ago. We talked about other things. And now we're going to talk about forgetting and remembering. God's people, the Bible tells us, we have a history of being forgetful people. We probably know that, right? That as soon as a blessing is done, we look to the next challenge and we say, well, God, where are you at now, right? We already forget. You don't do anything for me, God. We have that tendency to do that. We focus more on the challenge in front of us than the God who has helped us through the last challenge. And so God in his scripture continually tells us and reminds us that we got to remember. Remember God's faithfulness in the midst of all situations. Remember how I brought you out of Egypt. Remember how I delivered you from exile. Remember how I brought you to the promised land. Remember how I met all your needs in the most difficult moments. God is continually calling his people to remember his faithfulness. And remembering is an intentional time. It's set aside to think back and consider all the fulfilled promises of God in your life so that you can have hope for what is to come next. So whatever comes next, we pull from what we remember of God's faithfulness in the past. And he tells us to remember because we are forgetful. When the next challenge comes, we forget that God brought us through the last one. And so sometimes we put that forgetfulness on God too, right? If you read any of the Psalms, Psalm 42:9, I say to my God, Lord, why have you forgotten me? We think God forgets like we forget, right? Don't you see me in my misery? Don't you see me in my trouble? And the psalmists, they wrestle with this idea. They feel isolated and separated from God, and they feel like God forgot them. Maybe you felt like that before. You've been in a difficult season. You're like, God, are you even listening to me? Do you even know what's going on in my life right now? Do you know how bad this is? And we feel like God has forgotten us. Maybe in this last year or two, you felt like that with everything that's been going on in the world. You know, my friends and family, they're getting COVID. My friends and family are passing. Lord, have you forgotten us? Have you forgotten us? Why are all these things happening to us, Lord? If you find yourself saying that, I think you're in good company with prophets and priests and kings who've been asking the same question of God. Lord, where are you? Where are you? Do you even remember us? Have you forgotten that we're here? Well, church, the good news today that we're going to talk about is God has not forgotten us. Amen? That's good news. He has not forgotten us. We are the ones that tend to forget. We are the ones that are quick to forget that God is never too far away, but he's always at work in our lives and always at work in this world. So the antidote to forgetting is remembering. And as God says, remember how I delivered you. Remember how I provided for you. Remember all that I've done for you. Then tell me if I'm a God who forgets. So we begin today this journey to Advent. We're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. Which you can pull that up on your Bible app or ourcovenant.org/weekly. And it centers around this man named Zechariah. Zechariah. My son is Zechariah, so I really like this name. Zechariah. And Zechariah comes from the Hebrew word Zachar and Yahweh, which means the Lord has remembered. The Lord has remembered. In a world of forgetfulness, the Lord has remembered his people. And the first week of Advent is the week of hope, as we've already heard this morning. And our hope today is that God remembers us. He does not forget us, as human beings are often to forget. He sees you, he remembers into your situation, and he's sending hope to save you today. That's the good news of hope today. So let's read Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. Through this whole season, we're going to walk through the first chapter of Luke for the next 4 weeks in Advent as it leads to the birth of Jesus. So let's start with the very beginning. Luke 1, 5 through 25. In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to call him John, and he will be a joy and delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. He'll bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can you be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." And the angel said to him, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you'll be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but he remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Lord, we thank you for this word, and help us as we begin this journey and hope that we'd be filled with hope this morning for what you are doing and what you have done. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So our passage begins verse 5. Let me give you a creative remix. In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named "The Lord Remembers." Right, so Zechariah's name means "The Lord remembers." So this time, this week, when you read this passage, I want you to replace the word Zechariah with the phrase "The Lord remembers." And you're going to see how many times the Lord remembers his people in this passage. So who is this Herod? In this time of Herod, the king, Herod the Great, the king of Judah, well, he was not a great person, right? He's not a great dude. He was a tyrant. He killed enemies and friends. He built huge buildings, including a temple, to himself, and he taxed the people like crazy to pay for it. He would often pass unjust laws to control people based on untrue things that he claimed were actually true. He was married 10 times. He was at odds with religious leaders of the times, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He went so far as to wanting to murder his own mother-in-law so he could gain authority and power in Roman government. It's pretty wild. Of course, if you know the story of Matthew, in the book of Matthew, he tries to kill Jesus, all the two-year-olds, kill them off so they can, you know, not come to power. And to top it all off, he built a huge golden eagle that represented Rome right at the entrance of the temple, so that when you walked in, you couldn't miss it. He wanted everybody to know, you might be worshiping Yahweh, but you're still under my oppressive rule and my thumb. The people of God had it pretty miserable under Roman rule, and they were facing these sort of struggles every day. As the story of Jesus' birth begins, it would not be too much to say that the people of God in the time of King Herod had feared that God had forgotten them. They feared that God had forgotten them. Why is this happening to us? Why is this unjust ruler ruling over us? But the Lord remembers, and he sends his priest named Zechariah to show the people how much he's been thinking about them. Zechariah, the Lord remembers, and his wife Elizabeth from the Hebrew, Elisheba, God has promised. So the Lord remembers, and the Lord remembers his promises. So they were stuck in this time with an unjust ruler and all sorts of problems, and God sends two people into this world whose names together are the Lord has remembered his promises. Amen. We're in good space already, church. The Lord has not forgotten his people, as we often think of forgetting. He's always at work, always calling more people to himself, always at work in this world. And so here's Zechariah and Elizabeth. They are righteous, but they are childless, unable to conceive a child, which in that culture was a matter of shame on their family name. How many nights had Elizabeth and Zechariah stayed up crying out to God? Why, Lord? Have you forgotten us? Have you forgotten us? Why can we not bear a child? Being a priest, maybe Zechariah would turn to the scriptures, and there was plenty of stories of couples unable to bear children. There was Sarah, Genesis 18, Rachel, Genesis 30, the mother of Samson, Judges 13, Hannah in 1 Samuel. Yet all of them were able to conceive, and so I imagine they were waiting for God to remember them. They were waiting. And let me just pause for a moment. I just want to acknowledge the reality. There may be many of us in here watching online or in person that are Elizabeths and Zechariahs right now, or have been, crying out to the Lord, have you forgotten us? We can't bear a child. I know this story can be difficult to hear, so allow me the grace this morning maybe just to share three things. First, let me say confidently that God has not, does not, and will not ever forget you. Just like as he was with Zechariah and Elizabeth in their lament and tears, he's surely with you in all the grieving and the crying out to God that you have done. And he welcomes you to share that with him openly and honestly. Second, I don't have any answers why God allows certain things to happen and certain things not to happen. In my own life, you know, all of us, we have verses that we go to in the midst of grief and pain. And I found Malachi 4:2 a good one. You who revere God's name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. We've already sang it this morning, actually. So I encourage you to sit in the rays of righteousness of God and cast your cares on him, cast your burdens on him. And lastly, I would say, don't walk this journey alone, if that's you watching online or here today, that there are many men and women at Riverside who want to walk with you. And you can talk to me or Nicole or anyone that you trust who can help you get connected to shepherd you in that space. I just wanted to say that this morning because it's a hopeful day, but it can be a challenging day as well to hear the story every season. So let's turn back to Zechariah and Elizabeth. There's a larger story going on in this passage of the birth of Jesus that's coming up. And it's a small story, too, that concerns this couple and their inability to conceive. And what we're going to see today is that God cares about the big and the little. God cares about what's going on up here, and he cares about what's going on down here with his people. The goodness of God is that he enters into our story right where we are, wherever we find ourselves, and he gives us hope for today. So we move on. Verse 8, Zechariah is a priest from the division of Abijah. There's 24 divisions, 750 priests in all, 18,000 priests in total. That's a lot of priests. You think one pastor is a lot, 18,000, right? Zechariah is one of those 18,000 priests who's been called into service of God. And the priests, what they would do daily is take this coal that was burning, they would take it inside the temple, and the smoke represented the prayers of the people on that day. It was a very simple task. It only took a few minutes, but it was a big deal. You take the prayers of the people on behalf of God into the temple. And they cast lots, which is this weird thing we don't really know, that to eliminate human decision, but to allow God to be the one to decide. And Zechariah is chosen. So you're randomly selecting from 18,000 priests. The odds are pretty astronomical that you're going to be chosen. Most priests live their whole life never being able to do this. 18,000 priests, 365 days. It could take you 40 years to get chosen to do this if you lived that long and if they went in order and all these things kind of had to go in your way. I think you get the idea here. So what happens to Zechariah in our passage is literally a once-in-a-lifetime event. He's chosen by God to carry the prayers into the temple for the people. What a beautiful thing. If he went home at the end of the day to his wife Elizabeth, and that was the only thing that happened to him today, that would be a great day. That'd be a day he'd remember for the rest of his life. But it's not the only thing that happens, because an angel meets him there. An angel appears before him, and he cowers in fear before this angel. No, there's this understanding in the scripture that when an angel appears, it's usually bad news for you, right? If you can see them, there's usually some sort of death or judgment coming your way. And so Zechariah is afraid in this moment. Like, what have I done? What are you going to do to me? I'm scared. But the angel gives him great news. God has remembered you, Zechariah. God does not forget you. All those nights you prayed with your wife Elizabeth, all those nights you cried out to me, I have not forgotten you. I have a promise to be fulfilled through you. And there's two incredible promises of hope that come out of this passage. The first is this, that this child that's going to be born is going to transform the world. He's going to prepare the way for my son, Jesus, to come. This John the Baptist, he's going to lead people back to repentance and to knowing me again. That's the larger story. And the smaller story down below is verse 14. This child, he will be a joy and a delight to you. You will be so delighted. He will be a joy in your life. I haven't forgotten about you, Zechariah and Elizabeth. I have a big plan, a huge plan for this world. In fact, they're going to start counting time differently because of my plan. But I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgotten you. And see, that's the promise of hope that we hold on to in this first week of Advent. That God works through history to draw many people to himself and fulfill this big story of salvation through Jesus. And as he does that, he cares for each and every individual life that he has created. Every single life. In the Old Testament, God says in one book, he says, hey, do you think I'm a God who's just far away and not a God who's close? And then the next book, he says, hey, do you think I'm just a God who's close and not a God who's far away as well? God is saying, I'm the one who's orchestrated all things into existence. And I'm also the God who cares about every single living being that I've put my breath in. And we see that played out so beautifully in our passage today. He remembers Zechariah and Elizabeth in their pain. And he also has this big plan unfolding throughout the world. So the angel tells Zechariah what will happen, and he has some questions, right? How can someone so old conceive? What kind of promise is this, angel? What are you talking about? You know, if there was any doubt that Zechariah was a real person, well, here it is, right? Doubt, fear, uncertainty, all the emotions we carry. Even when God speaks to us, right? We're like, you sure, God? I don't know. And I don't blame Zechariah. You know, we'd like to think, hey, if I lived in the time of the Exodus and I saw God raining down food from heaven, I'm sure I would follow God all the time. I wouldn't be like those people. Well, I don't know about that. I think we would, right? I think we'd be caught up in the moment just like anyone else would. And the reality is, hey, we mess up. We mess up often. We doubt God, we struggle with it, we struggle with belief. And if that's you this morning, then I have good news for you. You're in good company. There's a whole group of people in Scripture that struggle with understanding what's going on. But the good news is that God does not abandon us in the midst of that struggle. He walks with us through it. He does not abandon his people. He remembers his people. And he calls us into service for his kingdom. Though we come with fear and uncertainty and anxiety, he remembers us. He remembers his promises to us. And so the angel says to him, listen, I know this is hard for you to understand, but I'm with God 24/7, and every time he says something up there, it happens down here. So I know this is going to work out. But you're not going to be able to speak, since you didn't believe me, until the time of the birth. And so suddenly this few-minute task has turned into, like, I don't know, 20 minutes. 30 minutes is in there wrestling with this angel, and the people, they're outside praying, remember them? They're like, what's going on here? Like, why is this taking so long? And let me just drop this here before we move on. I'm going to drop a little nugget, and we're going to come back to this next week. The book of Luke, when Luke writes, he wants us to understand that every great movement of God is preceded by a group of people in prayer. So if you read the book of Luke, which we'll come back to next week, that every time God shows up, it's started by a group of people have gathered together and praying together. And so here are these people outside, they're praying, and the angel appears to Zechariah. And so he comes out, he's not able to say anything, and he's just making signs. I know this is like you know, Advent is a pretty serious thing, but can you imagine how funny that must have been, right? This priest who could speak, now he comes out, and he's like, right? Baby, he can't say anything. Like, it must have been comical. You know, we should do that in a skit sometime. I'm looking at people who can act, not me. You could do it as a skit, right? He's unable to speak. He's going through the motions. He's got to explain the situation. The people are like, what? Oh, he encountered God. We've heard about this when someone encounters God. We haven't seen it with our own eyes in a long time, but we've heard about this when someone encounters the living and powerful God. Something happens. So he finishes his day. He goes home. He's got to explain all this to Elizabeth again. And then the Lord remembers his promise. And Elizabeth is with child. And 5 months she stays in seclusion. Why? Well, who would believe that a 70-year-old woman would be with child after being unable to conceive for all these years? But Elizabeth gives God the glory. The Lord has done this for me. And it's a twofold blessing for Elizabeth, that God has restored what was broken between her and God potentially, but also that God has restored the relationships in her life with the community around her, and her lifetime of shame is taken away. So today, as we begin this journey of hope in Advent, our hope today is that God has not forgotten his people. He remembers his promises to us, and he sees them through to completion. God is a good multitasker, unlike most of us probably. He holds things in the higher story and the lower story together. The God story is that he's sending his son, Jesus, to transform and change this world radically. But he also cares about every single individual life that he touches along the way. God works in the big things and he works in the little things. Here's a great quote, N.T. Wright, if you like N.T. Wright. Let me read it to you if you can't see it. The story is much more than Zechariah's hope in having a son, or Elizabeth's joy in being freed from the shame of the mothers in the village. It is about the great fulfillment of God's promises and purposes. But the hopes and fears of ordinary people are not forgotten, precisely because of who God is, the God of lavish, self-giving love. The ordinary people, us, we are not forgotten by God. Not forgotten in God's economy. Not forgotten in God's world. One of the powerful images that God gives us that we see in this season is that of God as Father, a loving Father. And I know we've just come out of the Thanksgiving season. Maybe we've been with some family that causes some turmoil, some pain, some hurt, some fathers that aren't there. And we're going into a Christmas season where we can run into the same thing. Our God is your father might be someone who's not around or only dropped by in the holidays to see how you're doing and, hey, I'll see you next year. Our God is not a father who just drops in for the holidays. He doesn't just stop by. He's there continually and cares about his children deeply and lavishes his love on them. He has not forgotten you, and he never will. The story of Advent is that God loves you so much that he sent his son to dwell with us, to reveal the Father's deep love and remind us that we are not forgotten in the midst of day-to-day life. Acts 17, Paul says this, God is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else, Paul says. God himself gives us life and breath and everything else, everything that we need in this world. As we prepare for the advent of Jesus, his arrival, let us remember that he sent Jesus to us so that we could reach out and find him, not far away, but close by. Not working on his own to-do list out there somewhere, but in our midst, knowing us and loving us, and we can reach out and cry out to him. God remembers his promises to you, church, and he calls you to remember them as well, that he will deliver his people from their sin, set them free by the blood of Jesus, that they might dwell in eternity with him. And for those who put their hope in Christ, their sins are forgiven, and they enter into back into right relationship with God through Jesus. Church, we're quick to forget the lavish love of God. So I have a challenge for you this week as you go into the first week of Advent. I encourage you to take out your phone, maybe not right now, but later take out your phone and set an alarm and a timer. Set an alarm and a timer. So I want you to set an alarm for 5 minutes sometime in the day where you have 5 minutes to set aside, and then a timer for 5 minutes. And I want you for that 5 minutes to spend time remembering God's goodness to you in your life. It's not the time to lift up prayer requests. It's not the time to fill your mind with the things of work. That can come later. I want you to take 5 minutes and remember God's faithfulness to you. Because we're so quick to forget. When the new day comes, we look at all the challenges in front of us and we forget how God was faithful yesterday. So don't do that this Advent season. This is a season of remembering His goodness and remembering His faithfulness. So set a time, not just this week, maybe every week in this Advent season, 5 minutes to remember how good God has been to you, how good He has been to us. Whatever burden you carry today, go to Him because He hears your cry and He remembers you, just as He remembered Zechariah in the temple and Elizabeth in her home. He's near you now. He's calling to you to turn to Him today and remember His great promises. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that we forget things and we forget Your goodness to us. So help us, Lord, in this season not to forget, but remember You. And remember that You remembered us and You love us and You sent Jesus. And we're awaiting His arrival once again. We're awaiting His arrival once again to celebrate together as a church, as a family, as a community. We thank You for the great love You have lavished on us, that we should be called Your children, and that is what we are. We thank You for the story of Your provision and Your miraculous ways that You draw people to Yourself. So help us as we fix our eyes on You, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. May be filled with Your Holy Spirit and love You more and more each day. In Jesus' name, amen.